Thanks for downloading Scott Harold's podcast. If you use a smart speaker, you can always ask Alexa to enable the SOS radio skill.
We're talking with Dwight Bain today at SOS Radio, and he's a certified counselor and leadership coach. He's worked in crisis management all over the country and with leaders in Washington and leaders in the Southeast. Good morning, Dwight.
Good morning, Scott. I'm happy to be with you, but it seems like we only talk after the Las Vegas shooting or the Pulse shooting or now COVID-19. We have to find more positive subjects to talk about, Scott.
I know. It's wild. We're trying to, you know, it's like...
Well, that part is what it is. And I know we're going to deal with some difficult subjects because when we look at cities that are the hardest hit, the Las Vegas region, literally one of the hardest hit, and it's not hit because of COVID deaths. That would be Seattle, New York City, Boston. It's hardest hit because of the economic piece. There's a physical part, a medical part of COVID-19, and then there's a mental and a psychological part, and the layoffs, the emotional recession is happening, and it's happening right now as people are on lockdown. I'm deeply concerned about what's happening, and that's why you've heard me say before, Christian radio shines brightest in the middle of a crisis, because in the middle of a crisis, it's easier to find Christ, and we give people hope, we give people inspiration, and that's what you do at SOS Radio, and I'm happy we can spend some time together.
I know, we're finding so many new people that have been plugging in that have never ever listened to Christian radio before that are saying, wow, I needed something, I need to connect with God, I wanted to go into a church, but they're not open, I don't know what to do, but this is helping me to open up in that area, and so, hey, we're glad to be here and happy to serve and help support the churches that are, and... It's a rough time, but Dwight, the unemployment is an interesting thing because it's not just financial. When you're out of work for weeks and months on end and you don't see the light at the end of the tunnel, it really gets at your spirit.
Well, it really does. And obviously right now, if you're unemployed, if you're laid off, and pretty much everybody is either in that boat or you know somebody who is. My family members, many of them work for the Walt Disney Company, and they've been on layoff some 6 weeks. And so in the middle of this, part of it's, of course, financial. Can I pay my bills? And that's where the stimulus bill that President Trump and Congress said, hey, here's a little bit of money. It's not going to be enough, but it's going to take some of the edge off. And here's what the government can do. So we look at the financial part, basically, Scott, the Dave Ramsey stuff, right? Budgeting and looking at your credit cards. And everybody knows you can call your credit card company. You can go online. You can click. They'll defer a payment. They're going to charge you interest. You can skip a house payment for up to 3 months, but they're going to want 3 months at the end of 90 days, right? That's the financial part. But there's an emotional and a psychological part. It's a feeling of helplessness. Give us this day our daily bread is the prayer that I learned in Sunday school because there's no promise about tomorrow. God's really big on manna for today. Well, what about tomorrow, God? Yeah, why don't you trust me with that? But what happens psychologically, particularly for the primary provider, the financial provider in the household, that person will put this burden on their shoulders of, I have to have this all figured out. And you can't. You can't stop a global economic recession. It can't be done. You can stop that recession from hurting you emotionally and from hurting your family. And right now I'm hearing terrible stories of people venting anger and rage and frustration because they're scared financially. I know why they're doing it. But they're dumping it on their marriage partner. They're dumping it on their kids. And saying, I'm sorry, I'm just stressed about money, is not going to help a 10-year-old who doesn't understand that. They know, that's my mom, that's my dad. Why are you screaming at me? We got to get people back to daily bread, manna for the day. We will survive this, but you'll survive it better if you're not screaming at your family.
We're talking with Dwight Bain today at SWS Radio, and he's a certified counselor and leadership coach. He's worked in crisis management for decades, but I'll tell you what, Dwight, it's been a weird season where we've been holding it together. We feel like, okay, a lot of families have been struggling. We're seeing that. Our economy's struggling, but we've been holding out for that light at the end of the tunnel. I mean, we're 5, 6, 7 weeks in, depending on where you live, but we've been holding on thinking, okay, the end of April, first part of May, we're going to see that light at the end of the tunnel. And then our governors just keep kicking the can down the road because the economy's not ready. The hospitals are still backed up. There's still a lot of people that are sick and they're trying to flatten that curve. And it's like, okay, we climbed that mountain and we were ready to see the top of it. And now we realize, you know what? There's 3 more mountains we have to climb over. And it's like your hope just goes, what do we do, Dwight?
Well, you know, what we do sometimes, I love to read, particularly biographies. And so the early settlers like Lewis and Clark and John Coulter and those guys that saw the Rocky Mountains because they understood Appalachian Mountains. So they saw Rocky Mountains and thought, okay, you kind of get to the top and then you kind of get to the other side, right? That was one of their comments about the Rockies. These just keep coming. We get to the top of one and it's 11,000. And then we go, that next one's 14,000. When do these stop? And so it's that feeling of, okay, I'll get to the top of this, then it'll be okay. There's one word, and Scott, it's the word that'll help every listener, whether they're young or whether they're old, and it's the word control. You see, if I feel like my control and my hope is based on, I'm going to get to May 1st and the lockdowns will end and it's all going to be good and it's going to be wonderful and we're going to watch a Disney movie and it's just going to be happy. I mean, it's just going to be, all right, so I want to throw that out. And no, it's the Serenity Prayer because I don't have control. The Serenity Prayer, and remember, this happened during the Great Depression. Unemployment was 50% in New York City when Reinhold Niebuhr gave a message. At the end of the message, he gave a prayer, and this is the short version. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. The hope was not based on, I'm going to get through this because of a date on a calendar. It was, God, I'm going to surrender. See, when I can surrender control to God, God, I can't handle this. You can. Please, God, I surrender all, like the old song. When I can surrender control to God, who is in control, and COVID-19 did not catch by surprise, when I surrender control to God, now all of a sudden I can find new strength. And what many people don't realize, out of that Great Depression and that prayer of a pastor who said, what can I say to my congregants and the people in my church, 50% don't have jobs, they don't have food, what can I say? And what he prayed was, I can say, God, I surrender. Give me the serenity, the wisdom. And right now, what can I say if somebody doesn't have a job? I can say we can surrender to a God who promised that he would care and that God promised he would carry us through the hard times. How? See, that's you trying to be in control. That's me trying to be in control. And this is scary times. But if I go to fear, it's going to get worse and then I'm not going to be able to think clearly and I'm going to start to panic. And everybody's done that. If I go to faith, and I take a deep breath, breathe in faith, breathe out fear. Lord God, I'm going to trust you with my family and my finances. I'm going to be responsible about what CDC.gov says to do with distancing and all that. But God, mostly I'm just going to trust you. When we do that, something amazing happens, Scott. Our faith grows in times just like this. This is when Christianity is tested. And Scott, this is when Christianity will be more than enough to pass that test.
You know, during a crisis situation or any sort of tragic event, news consumption always goes up for obvious reasons. And this has been a weird season. I'm Scott on SWIS Radio talking to Dwight Bain. He's a certified counselor, leadership expert who works with crisis management. Dwight, when we watch TV and we just consume things, we think we're getting all the latest info. But what it does is it poisons our spirit in a lot of ways. It's funny because we see people that are consuming the same research and the same information as we are, even reading the same Bible that we are. They draw completely different conclusions that we do. How do we recenter when you feel like everything is just pulling you away from God?
Yeah, well, the first thing, and some people may get their feelings hurt, but you have to be responsible with your consumption of news. And sometimes if you say to people, why are you watching? They'll say, well, I need to know the news. Okay, are you going to be on Jeopardy? Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Why do you have to know the news? That's always been interesting to me. Well, I just have to watch. No, you don't. You do have to be responsible. If somebody says, well, I have to watch the game, right? Those have all been taken away. So you look at responsibly, why am I watching this anyway? Is this helping me in any way? And every news outlet, it has a bias. That television station is real conservative. That television network, they're real liberal. And everybody knows that. Okay, well, if they have a bias and I know it, I don't have to watch it. I can be responsible with what I let into my mind. This is a time of pandemic. And I can tell you, Scott, this will go on for 20 months. The U.S. Surgeon General Jerome Adams says the estimated time for a vaccine is 20 months. It might be a little sooner, but we're talking deep into the fall of 2021. This isn't going away today, tomorrow, the next day. Things will start to open, but this is going to be with us for a while, just like other major world events. We will survive it, but you can't survive it if you think and worry about 2021. You have to focus on today. Give us this day our daily bread. To go back and to read the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus opened his public ministry as a rabbi and his teaching, Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 7, and just to read through it, it was radical because it was based on a new system. Instead of you being in control or your bank account being in control or your boss or your company, I have a job, my life's going the way I want. It was a radical new system. Turn the other cheek. Being able to look at light and darkness differently. The Jesus approach to crisis draws us close to God. Because instead of being afraid, James, the half-brother of Jesus, who writing in the book of James during an incredibly tough time, James chapter 1, he said, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when these trials come, because it's going to build something in you, and it'll build something that you can get no other way." These hard times are developing your character, your perseverance. It's deepening your soul into other people, Scott. It's showing other people who said, "I knew you were religious, but you're not panicked about this stuff. Why?" Well, let me tell you, because it really wasn't about religion. It was about my relationship with a man named Jesus, and he changed my life. I'm just a sinner, but Jesus Christ set me free. And in the middle of the crisis, sometimes it's easier to find Christ because people see how we live different, and we live with peace instead of panic, and that difference will draw them out of the darkness to find the light of the world.
You know, I'm just one person. What difference can I make? Have you ever thought about that before? Sure you have. We're talking with Dwight Bain today at SWS Radio. He's a counselor and works in crisis management. I'll tell you what, Dwight, so many people have this mentality right now about what difference can I make? I'm just one person. There's so much hurt and evil in the world, and all this COVID stuff is outside of my control. I mean, our states, our country doesn't really even know what to do with it, how to control it. But the problem with the mentality is we just choose to do nothing because we feel helpless. What do you suggest?
Well, we do feel helpless, right? And so what can I do? Remember Mr. Rogers on the television show, The Children's Show, and he ended that in the year 2000. He came back and did one episode, and it was right after the terrorist attacks, and he went back on TV, even though he was very old and very fragile, and he went back on TV to be able to say, after the terrorist attacks, and try to explain terrorism to five-year-olds. And he said, look for the helpers. So what can I do, right? I can give up trying to be in control of global economy and global pandemic, and I can give up being afraid. Why did my company shut down? Listen, give up the word why. When you question why, you're never going to get an answer to that. I've studied the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, every page, many, many times. And God never, ever answers the question why. He answers what to do. He'll give us answers to a lot of things, but he won't answer why, because on some things, well, why did this happen? I think why is a long answer. It probably has something to do with science and the study of disease that I don't understand, but I do understand this. I can be a helper. Scott, crisis and the worst of times can bring out the best in people. And individuals didn't really care much about folks in nursing homes, didn't care much about frontline workers in grocery stores. Now celebrate them as heroes. Thank you for what you do. I've seen store clerks mist up with tears when my wife and I, in the first few weeks of the lockdown, and we said, thank you for restocking these shelves. One young lady here in Orlando where I live, she had a very heavy accent, and she mist it up with tears, and she said, nobody's ever said thank you before. I said, I'm so sorry nobody said thank you, because what you do matters. What you do matters. The worst of times, the best in people, and you're going to hear some price gouging and stories because it makes the news of terrible stuff. But mostly what we're going to start to see, especially as lockdown ends in the next few weeks, we're going to hear stories of people that did not know their neighbors that now are bartering. We'll trade you four rolls of toilet paper for two packs of paper towels. And people that didn't know their neighbors that now will become friends. People will say, I can go grocery shop for you. I know you're older. Don't worry about it. You don't have to pay me anything. It's just what we do. I'm just feeling so much emotion right now. People are going to hold up signs, and they're going to say thank you to workers, not just firefighters and police officers and nurses. Thank God that we're saying thank you. But I think we're going to see people saying that to folks in the church. hey, pastor, hey, staff, hey, people that did children's ministry, you're just a volunteer, but thank you, because my kids were kind of going crazy, and we were so scared, and you told them the story about Moses and how his mom must have been scared to keep a little baby alive in the middle of a tragic time where babies were being sacrificed, or Daniel in a den full of hungry lions, and you told that story, and my 9-year-old went to bed that night, and she wasn't scared. Thank you. When we're able to communicate from the depth of our being, and that's kind of what I feel right now, to be able to say to our friends and our neighbors all across your city and mine, Scott, there are people that are scared, but something I can do for free that'll make a huge difference is to say to my family, hey, we got through this together. Lockdown's going to end, and some people are going to say to their partner who still has a job, you went to work every day in an essential service, and I don't think I've taken a lot of time to say how much I appreciate that you work and you pay our bills. And that attitude of gratitude that we do on Thanksgiving before we eat turkey and watch the Dallas Cowboys lose, and the Cowboys are my team, and I hate that they lose, and they always lose, but I love the Cowboys anyway. On Thanksgiving, we all make a big deal. Oh, I'm so thankful. Can you imagine, Scott, if we made a big deal, if we started a movement, you and I right now, and all the listeners, if we started a movement of pay it forward with gratitude. There's a hashtag, stronger together. But what if we did a hashtag about COVID appreciation? There's a hashtag called COVID kindness. What if we just said, let's just appreciate people. Let's be grateful. Now, here's what happens psychologically. When you're counting blessings, when you're listing things you're grateful for, and if you've never done it, Oprah talked about it on her show. It was one of the breakpoints in her career when she left Baltimore and went to Chicago. A counselor said, write down 3 things every single day you're thankful for, 3 things you're grateful for. And she did, and it started to turn her life around. It started to unpack the childhood trauma of being raped by her uncle and being pregnant out of wedlock and having a baby in a Memphis hospital when she was 15 and the baby died. I mean, trauma after trauma after trauma. And she hid the trauma, covered it over with food. Some people are traumatized and do that. What if we just pulled a page from the Oprah playbook and said, I'm going to write down 3 things I'm grateful for and find 3 people to say thank you? Now, here's what happens psychologically. Now you cannot feel panic if you're counting blessings. You see, I don't get to pick the burdens that I'm handed in life. You don't get to pick. I don't get to pick. I don't get to pick my burden. But Scott, I get to pick how I carry it. I get to pick how I carry having a special needs child. I get to pick moving forward with a family member who maybe has dementia, and I'm a caregiver, and I'm exhausted. I didn't get to pick that, but I do get to pick moving forward, saying I'm going to take care of this family the best I can. Hey, gang, here's what we have, to quote Dave Ramsey, beans and rice, rice and beans, and that's supper for the next few days, and we're going to be okay, and we're going to play board games because we're not going to have cable because it's just too expensive right now. These are the things we're going to do as a family. What you're going to find is when you talk through it, you can get through it. When you talk through it as a family, your family will get stronger. They won't say, Mom, you failed. Oh, my gosh, I've got to get rid of Xbox, $5 a month payment. They're going to say, Mommy, it's okay. It's okay, Mom.
We're talking about how grief can actually come from job loss with Dwight Bain today at SWS Radio, and he's a counselor, and you can actually connect with him at dwightbain.com. But recently you tweeted, you know, your career is not you. You're a whole lot more than your job. And if you're laid off or unemployed or just afraid, there might be hidden stress from a fear or a lost identity that comes with a job.
It's exactly true. To the workaholics, and I was one of those, Scott, before I had a heart attack. Half the middle-aged guys who have heart attacks die from it. And I was in the half who got to live. So I understand burnout and working, and I've got to do all this to save the world, and felt like that was, you know, part of my calling as a Christian. Got to go help everybody, and ignore my own needs, ignore my own health. The Bible doesn't teach that. We're to be a steward of these bodies that God has given us. And one of the ways to do it is this beautiful thing called sleep. See, when I sleep, I'm closing my eyes and surrendering the day for God's control. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. In the Middle Ages, when that prayer came, you didn't know if you'd die from disease. Back then it was the Black Plague. Today maybe COVID. But you had to give up being afraid of what can I do about it to close your eyes and rest. Right? You had to surrender. It's the same with workaholism. You are more than your job. You are more than your status on a business card. oh, I'm CEO. Well, that's your job description. It's not you. And for too many years, Scott, I lived in the world of being driven and trying to do things. And I found out later by going to a very good counselor, it was tied to some psychological wounding that happened when I was growing up, of the need to make up for something. And it really wasn't tied to anything rational at all. But right now, if you lost a job and your identity was tied to your job, you're feeling like somebody took you away. You're more than your job. God designed you, not as an employee, but as his child. So if you're feeling it on a very deep level, and maybe you've managed your money, you've got some money in savings, you know, your house payment's caught up, maybe it's not about the money. Maybe it's about your mood. Maybe it's about the mental health part. And I'm writing every day, posting across social media or on the website, to be able to give people hope in these hard times. But to tell someone you're more than your job, you matter, you are enough. Some people will go, well, yeah, I know I'm more than my job. So it's not an identity issue for you. But when you tell somebody you're enough just the way you are, you don't have to overdo. Some people will break into tears because they're starting to realize that they matter. It's an issue of worth. Mm. And the reason we celebrate Easter, even though we did it in our homes this year, is because Jesus said, you matter. You are worth so much to me, I will lay down my life for you. You matter. And if you'd been the only one, Scott, if you and I had been the only ones, Jesus would have died to pay the penalty for our sins, because we matter. We are more than a job. We are more than a paycheck. We are sons and daughters of a great King who's going to carry us through this time, just like he's carried us through all times.
We're talking with Dwight Bain today at SWS Radio, and he's a counselor and works in crisis management. You can actually connect with him if you want to know more at dwightbain.com. Thanks.
I am grateful. I think I wish I'd recorded this. I'm glad you did. One of us did, because, man, the Spirit was just stirring my heart. I was right at the point of tears several times. So I know somebody's going to listen to this, and it's going to stir them to tears. And maybe they've lost a family member to COVID, and they can't be there in the hospital. Or maybe they're going to be stirred to tears because they've lost a friend who's going to move away because there are no jobs. And maybe it was a very good friend, or maybe some people, the loss is going to be their home, their dream home, and they realize that there's no way we can keep this house, because loss is going to come at us from every possible direction. But in the middle of the grief, if I can let go of the deep sadness and grab hold of God's hand, we can get through the tough times. And grieving does better together. You know, somebody told me that when her dog was really scared, they would put her scared dog around another dog, because the dogs would comfort each other. And I thought, you know, we can learn a lot from our dogs, because sometimes when we're really scared or grieving, to be around somebody else who says, you too, me too, sometimes to be around that will help me to not be afraid, or help me in my grief. It'll help me to manage the stress and the pressure. And when I can manage the stress and the pressure a little bit better, I can go hold the ladder up for the next bunch. And I think that's what you guys do at SOS Radio. And I'm grateful for our friendship, grateful for our time.
Thanks for downloading the SOS Radio podcast. If you enjoy the discussion and want to help the podcast grow, you can make a $10 donation through sosradio.net or inside the SOS Radio app. Thanks for your generosity. It helps us experiment with new things and keep the discussions fresh.